Welcome to this podcast from Riverside Church Whitstable.
We hope you find it helpful and encouraging.
If you would like to find out more information about us,
why not check out our website at riversideuk.org,
our Facebook page, or follow us on Twitter at Whit Riverside.
Okay, we're going to continue our series today called Mountains. We started this last week. We looked at mountains as place of encounter. Today I want to start this talk actually with a short video from Open Doors. Open Doors is a charity that we support. They work all over the world supporting Christians who are persecuted because of their faith. We support them financially. We also support them in prayer. And they've just sent us a little video through to say thank you. So we're just going to watch the video.
Hello, church family at Riverside Church in Whitstable. My name is Howard, and it's my privilege on behalf of Open Doors to say a massive, massive thank you for your generosity and especially your prayers that are having a massive, massive positive impact on the 365 million persecuted believers around the world. Well, that's one in seven Christians, and behind every number is a name, and behind every statistic is a story. You're enabling us to help people like Jiho in North Korea, one of the most dangerous places to be a Christian in the world, where you can be killed simply for owning a Bible. She came to faith through Open Doors' radio broadcast ministry that's secretly broadcasting into North Korea from outside. And her father had been taken away, we presumed killed, and she managed to find his illegal radio hidden in her house and listen to the good news about Jesus. In North Korea, thousands upon thousands of people are starving. They hunt for bugs to survive. We have an underground network that is providing food and resources and discipleship training to about 100,000 North Korean believers right now. Your support is also enabling us to provide counselling and trauma care for pastors like Pastor Zachariah in Nigeria. He was away and came back to discover that his village had been attacked by Fulani militants and his wife and his children have been killed. Your support is empowering us in our advocacy work. In January, we launched the World Watch List 2024, and Suleiman from West Africa stood in front of 103 MPs in Parliament, told stories of horrendous persecution taking place, and then said to them all, "I have not come here to ask for your money, but for your moral courage." I tell you, you could hear a pin drop as his audience took in a deep breath and were challenged by what he shared. Your support is also enabling us to encourage and strengthen the church in the United Kingdom, to help grow faith as many more hear about the extraordinary faith of their brothers and sisters in Christ and want to say, "Yes, I'm going to stand firm for Jesus right where I am in my neighbourhood," motivated on by what they're doing. Your prayers enable the persecuted church to know that they are not alone, that you're with them. And knowing that you're praying for them, we hear it again and again, and as they tell us that it gives them the strength and the courage to stand firm and to keep going for Jesus. So thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thank you especially for your prayers. Your persecuted family covet your prayers more than anything else. I'm going to hand back to Pastor Zachariah to finish with a final word of encouragement.
Open Doors partners invited Pastor Zachariah and other survivors to spend time at their trauma centre. There he could find relief from the many questions weighing on his mind.
Truly, if I hadn't come for this training, I think that life would have been very hard for me. Because in the months before I went for the training, I couldn't sleep. My thoughts kept going back to the attacks. But after receiving the trauma care, my mind is at rest. This teaching really has encouraged me. And they also taught us to forgive those who attacked us. I want to tell people who find themselves in situations like we've experienced, my prayer for you is that we should rely on God, because He is everything we live for.
Yeah, well, that video is particularly apt for today's talk because, as I said last week, we talked about mountains as places of encounter symbolically. Today we're going to talk about mountains as symbolically places of challenge and difficulty. We all experience many mountains in our lives that come along in our circumstances that challenge us. And sometimes they seem so huge and so impassable. They put a huge strain on our faith in God. If God is love and loving, why is He allowing us to face these seemingly impossible and impassable challenges? Why do they take place? And these times are sometimes called the dark night of the soul. And this is referring to a phrase first used by a Spanish mystic called St. John of the Cross in the 16th century. And the symbolism of the dark night talks about that sense of fear and isolation and despair and confusion sometimes that we face when we come across things in our lives that seem to eclipse the love of God, when times become intensely challenging. And many things can come along in your life and my life that can trigger a dark night of the soul. Things can happen to us that can take us into this dark place of despair. But the root is always this sense that God has forsaken us. God has forsaken us. And for many of us, as followers of Jesus, sooner or later we'll hit what I will call today the betrayal barrier. A time in our life when circumstances that are presenting to us, they make no sense. And God seems so unfair in the midst of what we're suffering. And they can seem a bit like this rockfall here. They block any sense that God loves us, any sense we have of God is present with us. They seem impassable. Last week we looked at Moses' encounter with God on Mount Horeb in the burning bush, didn't we? God commissioned Moses to go to Egypt and to help set the oppressed Israelites free who were in bondage and slavery. Well, Moses, if you read on in that section of Scripture, Moses goes on, he goes down, he talks to Pharaoh, he basically confronts Pharaoh. He believes that something good will come out of this commissioning that God has called him into. But instead, Pharaoh doesn't set the people free. He increases their oppression even more. He makes them work even harder. Before they had to make bricks with the straw that was given to them. And now Pharaoh says, you've got to go and glean the straw from the fields. You've got to make the same number of bricks, but you've got to go and find your own straw. The distressed people, they go to Moses and they say, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials. You've put a sword in our hand to kill us. Now, Moses is obviously confused and upset, and he confronts God. He says these words, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people. You have not rescued your people at all. It seems to Moses that God has let him down, that God has tricked him, that God has betrayed him, set him up. And he's now wrestling with the consequences. We all can hit this betrayal barrier at some point in our lives, in our faith journey. Sooner or later in our Christian faith, circumstances will pose questions to us that we struggle to answer. And God doesn't seem to be present in the midst of them. Moses asks why, and he asks, why not? Why? Have you brought this trouble upon the people? Is this why you sent me? And then the why not? You've not rescued them. You've not done what you said you would do. You've not done. You've not come through in the way I thought you would. Our betrayal barriers are normally built with the bricks of why and why not. Those are things that come in front and block our view or belief in a loving God. Why are certain things happening to me? Why aren't certain things happening to me? Why is God not moving and doing what I think he should do? When God doesn't do something we think he ought to do, the betrayal barrier starts to build in front of us. But sometimes we encounter such a painful situation, it's like a rockfall in this picture, completely eclipsing our understanding and our view of God. We can't reconcile a loving God with what's happened to us. We feel abandoned. So what can we do when we're faced with something like this in our lives? What can we do? Where can we go? Pastor Zachariah, who you just watched on the video in Nigeria, he said, I felt like God had forsaken me, but now my mind is at rest. He lost his wife and his daughter in an attack on his village. How could he move beyond that sense of betrayal? How could he move beyond that pain to where he could say, my mind is now at rest? Well, I think we saw through the video that he found comfort and love and healing with other people, primarily with and around other people. The theologian Peter Enns says this about church community. He says, if we can't go somewhere with the questions that we have, then what are we doing? And that's such a powerful statement, isn't it? Because life presents so many different questions to us. Circumstances pose so many different challenges to us. And Peter says, if we can't take those into church community, into relationship, then what are we doing? We're just playing at being family. We're just playing at being church. Questions, doubts, fears, confusion, despair, we all encounter them. And church community, church family, has to be the place where we can go and be really authentic. Peter says we have to find people we don't have to hide ourselves from, which again is a beautiful, powerful statement. Church should be a place where the people we don't have to hide ourselves from. We don't have to hide our identity. We don't have to hide our struggles. We don't have to hide our doubts and our fears. We don't have to bury what we're really feeling and experiencing just to present a face that is the right face for church. Because people are massively helpful in helping us process things like the betrayal barrier, things like the dark night of the soul. Because when we can't see God, we can see God in other people. People become God with skin on around us and to us. And when our view of his love is blocked, we can sometimes find that love in the words of someone who comes alongside us. And so the first thing we can do when we're faced with these deep challenges is that we can turn to each other. We can turn to each other. We can turn to the people we know who love us and accept us regardless of what challenges we're going through. We can turn to people who don't try and give us pre-prepared Christian answers to complex questions that life faces. That's not what we need in the midst of a dark night. We don't need someone just coming up with a Bible verse or a simple answer. What we need is someone who can sit with us in that pain and confusion. We need people who can say, I don't know. I don't know why that's happening. I don't know why that's not happening. We need people who can sit with us in the don't knows and the whys and the why nots and help us see God's love through them. So much in life that we encounter that we really don't understand. We really don't know why things happen in the way they happen. But church community is the place where we can go and take those questions. We can take the don't knows, and we can allow people to sit alongside us and be God to us when our view of him is blocked by our pain. I think the second thing we can do when we're faced with these challenges is let go of this idea that God's love is transactional. What do I mean by that? Well, a transaction is when two parties exchange goods or money. They strike a deal between each other. A transaction takes place. I give you this and you give me that. And that's the transaction that takes place. And many Christians deeply believe that God's love is transactional. They hang on to this idea that God's love is transactional. And so when we experience bad things in our lives, we might come to the conclusion that somehow we've messed up the transaction, we've messed up the deal. We've not held up our side of the bargain. And because we haven't held up our side of the bargain, well, God's displeased with us. God's angry with us. And to show his displeasure, he withdraws his love from us. He withdraws his blessing from us. Or he allows bad things to happen in our lives to teach us a lesson. The reason I'm experiencing such a difficult time, I could conclude, is because I've dropped the ball at some point. I've messed up my side of the deal. I didn't hold up my end of the bargain, and now God is showing his displeasure. He's angry at me. He's withdrawn his love from me. Now, please hear me right when I talk about this transactional idea. We can do things in our lives that cause consequences. We can make choices and actions that do have consequences and outcomes on our own life and the lives of the people around us. We can do things that create a detrimental effect in our lives. But this isn't what we're talking about here. This is more about believing that bad things are happening to me because God's angry with me. God's angry with me. I've messed up the deal and I'm suffering the consequences. Christians, you may have noticed, get fixated on trying to fix things on this earth. They're constantly looking for the one thing that's going to fix it all. You might have seen this. You go to events, conferences, talks, social media. You'll find a talk or a speaker there saying, if we just do this one thing, if we just do more of this one thing, or we do less of this thing, then things will become better. We just need to find the right thing to do, because God's a transactional God. And if we find the right thing to do, if we find the right lever to pull, then things will get better. God will love us more and our lives will improve. And it's a bit like God's like a cosmic vending machine. If we find the right coins to put in, we can press the button and goodness will come out the bottom. And that's how many Christian speakers and teachers have been teaching and speaking to you over decades. They've been saying God is primarily transactional, so therefore you need to find the right thing to do, the right course, the right approach, the right diet, whatever it might be. Years ago, people were talking about eating the food that Jesus ate to live a blessed life, because they believed that God is a transactional God. You just need to find the right coins to put into the God machine. The problem with this transactional ideology is that you and I will live with a nagging anxiety that we're always missing the mark. We're never quite measuring up to what God wants. We're always falling short of the transaction, of the deal. We're not upholding our side of the bargain. And because we're not holding up our side of the bargain, God's always a bit angry with us, a bit upset with us. And so we're going to suffer the consequences of that in our lives. Many Christians live under this fear that they're missing the mark with God, because God's a transactional God. But Jesus showed us that God's love is not transactional. God's love is unconditional, and God's love is relational. God's love is not transactional. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, he wrote these words. He said, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Does that speak of a transactional God to you? That speaks of a God who pours out his love upon us unconditionally, not because of what we do and not because of what we don't do. His love is the most powerful force in the universe. Nothing can stand against it. Jesus' love to you is a free gift of grace, not because you did a deal with God. It says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. We had nothing to bring to the table. You had nothing to strike a deal with God. You might think you're a fairly nice person and you had something you could bargain with, but actually you came to the table with less than nothing. You were in debt. And yet God looked at you and loved you. And not only did he love you, he wiped away the debt. You had nothing to bargain with, nothing to transact with. The only transactional part of our relationship with God is when Jesus wipes away your debt and adopts you into his family. And says, come in, come on in, I love you. So when things in life are hard, and they do get hard, it isn't because God is angry at us. It isn't because you or I have dropped the ball in some way. It isn't because we've messed up the transaction. If you hold on to the idea that God's love is transactional, you'll be on an endless search, fueled by anxiety, trying to find the thing that will tip the balance in your favor. Trying to do the thing or find the thing or say the thing or be the way that will somehow make God love you more. Try and tip the scales in your favor. You'll live in that permanent state of anxiety. And this is the opposite of what God wants for you. He says this in Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's heart for you and for me is that we live in peace. We don't live with nagging anxiety about whether God loves us or not. Paul writes here about Christ's unconditional love guarding our hearts and our minds. Peace and security is at the core of the Christian faith. Not anxiety. Not worrying about whether we've measured up to God's standard or not. Not worrying about whether we've upset God. Peace and security in God's love is at the core of the Christian faith. That's what makes it so utterly unique. That you and I don't have to live in the anxiety that we've somehow upset God today. And he's going to punish us for it. This is how the ancients used to live. The Greeks, they thought they served these capricious gods who were on a knife edge all the time. And they could upset God one day and suffer the consequences. But not Jesus. Jesus sets a guard on our hearts and our minds so we can live without worrying whether we upset God. We've fallen short. We bring our prayers and our concerns to God, not to make him love us, but because we know that he loves us. We don't come with our prayers and our requests and our petitions to try and twist God's arm. We come to him because we know he loves us and he cares about us and he cares about our situation. The key thing is, we don't measure God's love and goodness by looking at our circumstances. We measure God's love and goodness by looking at the person of Jesus Christ. And that's where our eyes should come back to in the midst of the challenges and the difficulties. His love is unconditional, it's unfailing, and it's always present in our lives. The third thing we can think about when faced with these betrayal barriers or the dark night of the soul is we remember trust matters more than certainty. We touched into this principle in our Holy Spirit series a few weeks ago. When we're experiencing a dark night of the soul, we lose our points of reference. We lose the tangibility of God's presence in our lives. It's a bit like crossing a lake at night in a small boat. As you row out, you lose sight of the shore that you've left, but you can't yet see the shore you're heading towards. You lose points of reference. All we can see, it seems, is darkness around us. But trust is a tethering point that pulls us forward in God. Trusting in the character and the nature of God and his love and goodness, it's like a tethering point in the darkness. And it pulls us forward to that far shore when we've lost all sight of land. Our relationship with God, it's a trust-based relationship. The opposite of trust is fear. We sang this morning many words that express how we anchor ourselves into the love of God, and that love drives out fear. It drives out fear. In the dark night of our circumstances, we don't need to fear that God has abandoned us. We don't need to fear that God is mad at us or angry with us. We don't need to fear God is punishing us. God is with us in the dark night, in the anguish and the uncertainty, when the points of reference have disappeared. And he isn't angry with you and me if we express doubt in the darkness. Doubt isn't sin. If you lose sight of God and you start to question your faith and you doubt and you have uncertainty, God is with you in that. He's not angry with you. He's not upset with you. It's okay. As we've seen, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Your doubts and your questions aren't big enough to nullify God's love. It's okay to have doubt in the darkness. And that brings me to my last point. We keep talking to God. If we limit our conversation to transactional prayers, God, please do this or do that, or don't do this and don't do that, then when something hard happens, then we can tend to stop praying. We tend to stop praying because we believe God's transactional, we've clearly upset him somehow, and so we withdraw from that conversation. We stop talking. Or we get upset that he's not doing the thing that we think he should do. But we've said that our connection with God is not transactional, it's relational. And so God is interested in the conversation always about all the emotions that you're going through, all the things that you're struggling with, all the things you want to express. In a relationship, we tell the other person how we're feeling, don't we? If it's a healthy relationship, we can express emotion to each other. And even if you can't see God in the darkness, you can still talk to him and tell him your fears, your doubts, how you're feeling. The Psalms in your Bible are full of this sort of language, the prayers that express the deepest kind of emotion. In the dark night, we tether ourselves in trust to the character of God, and we keep the conversation open because he's promised to never leave us. He's promised to never forsake us. And his love's a little bit like a light on the opposite shore that's constantly drawing us forward. As we talk to him, as we express how we're feeling, we reaffirm his presence in our lives. We reaffirm the fact, even though it feels he's left us, he's still present in the dark night. If you're able, will you stand with me? You may be facing challenge right now. You may have just come out of challenge, depending on where you are in your life. You will at some point have a dark night of the soul. You will have a place where it feels like God has disappeared. God isn't present. When St. John of the Cross first talked about this, he saw the dark night as a place of transition. He didn't see the Dark Night as a place where you would remain. He saw it as a place of something you would transition through into a greater tangibility of God on the other side. He saw it as a normal part of Christian faith and discipleship. He didn't see it as a destination. So even though you and I may pass through dark nights, we may hit betrayal barriers, it's not God's heart that we stay there. His love is always calling us on. Like the pastor we heard about, who somehow could find peace and rest again at the other side of tragedy. So let's just spend some time in these last few minutes just really inviting God again. Perhaps you've stopped talking to him. Perhaps you are upset with God. Perhaps he's not done what you think he should do. Or perhaps like Moses, you feel betrayed, you feel set up. You feel God said one thing but didn't deliver. Or perhaps you're just struggling to find God in the midst of your circumstance. As the band plays, I want to invite you to open your heart to him again this morning. He is present with you. He's not upset with you. His love is the most powerful force in the universe, and he wants you to experience that love again this morning. Let's just spend some time allowing him to minister to us.
Thank you for listening.
If you'd like to contact us about this talk,
to hear more or to find out about Riverside Church Whitstable,
then visit our website at riversideuk.org.
Also, you can contact us through our Facebook page or tweet us at @WhitRiverside.